Thank you, Chair Cox, and good morning, board members. Let me start also with a thank you to Lisa Wallace and Beth yesterday for our wonderful tour of the wetlands. We braved some storms and some lightning. It was a bit exciting at moments, but we're really grateful we got to see Parrazzo Meadows and Coldstream Canyon, and we sort of, because of the rain, listened to the last half of Little Martyrs Creek and indoors for our safety. But it was a great tour, and I thank them and for all the board members and the public. A lot of members of the community also participated in that effort, which was good to see because that really was a very community effort, the whole Watershed Council, and they owe to the community to the lot of success they had there. I hope for those that went, that inspires you for item 8 a little bit later today on the SEP update. So, also on tours, just as an FYI, you might hear one of your last items that we staff may be organizing tour of the Ace Hereford Ranch in the fall. So we'll be organizing that as staff. And we also are considering a tour of Ivanpah and Mollicorp, assuming they're in a good place. Mollicorp was filing for bankruptcy in early next year, along with the presentation from the Energy Commission. So we'll make that sort of energy emphasis. Also, a reminder that we do not have a board meeting in August, and our next board meeting is September 16th and 17th. Because of the additional time we gave the parties on the Hinckley PG&E CAO, we ended up changing some logistics on that, and I wanted to share that with the board to get your input. The September board meeting we were going to use as a workshop for the CAO because we'll have a new draft out in the street, and I believe people will need time to review that reading, give it, you know, think about it, and which then means that we will likely use the November board meeting again in Barstow to help take that item up. We have it scheduled now for November 4th and 5th, and I'm asking the board members to look at their schedules and ponder if perhaps by pushing it back a week to November 11th and 12th might work within your schedules. So I'll follow up with all of you to see if that is possible. So we do not have a board meeting in October, so it'll be adequate time for us to spend outreach to everyone on the proposed revised CAO. Speaking of the CAO, I wanted to thank the parties, and that's PG&E and our prosecution team, who spent many, many hours locked in a room working hard on ideas. Late yesterday, they sent a, or I received a compromise or consensus, I call it, consensus proposal that I will be sending out later today to everyone. And the idea next is that we're not asking for comments on the consensus proposal, but we want all stakeholders to take a look at that. We will then, as the advisory team, go through that, perhaps come with a new revised order and brief the board members, and then put it out for public comment. And depending on what it looks like and depending on the interest of the community, we may or may not have some outreach with the community. For those of that attended the sessions in Barstow where we had the smaller work groups, I think that worked really well to kind of dig into the issues, and we'll see if that's needed or not. So I just want you know, and again, thank the parties. We did something new here and asked them to work together, and I really appreciate it because they I know they really put a lot of hard work into it. So I thank them. Another announcement, which is in your packet, is the annual Tahoe Summit is on August 24th. It's a Monday. It'll be at the Round Hill Pines on the Nevada side. Senator Hiller is sponsoring this year, so it also is a very good event to attend. And if any of you would like to attend, if you'd let Sue or I know so we could help you with reservations to the event. So I know you have busy schedules, but if it works within your schedule, it would be great to attend that. I was going to update a little bit on the Compass General Order, but thank you, Dee. I don't have to. other than to just remind our board that all the regions are actively involved in these policies. And Brianna St. Pierre from our Victorville office has been on the technical advisory committee to help, you know, craft it and work on the technical pieces of this. So I think that's a really good model, too, on some of these more technical statewide policies that the regions help lend some of their technical expertise to the effort. So I saw that as, you know, a really good model maybe to use in the future. For our region, just so you know, based on the proposed order as it stands today, the nursery products facility outside Hinckley would likely qualify for this order if the state board chose to adopt it. But the American Organics facility in Victorville would not qualify under the parameters of the general order. Just so you know how it works in our region. Again, on GRAP, I don't need to update because Dee Dee did a good job, but I want also, you know, on that one, the executive officers and the Division of Water Quality have really been collaborating together, and we hope to have a draft resolution out for public comment in the month of July for the stakeholders and everyone to weigh into. And depending upon scheduling of the board's busy schedule, probably late August or early September, it'll come before the state board for consideration. So once that is out, we'll certainly share that with the board and seek your input and guidance as well on that. So I want to now shift slightly to little updates in your packet, and that's with your existing written executive officer report. On the Lake Tahoe Nearshore item that our Dan Sussman updated you on, which is item 7, bait stamp 4-12, I just want you to know we received $150,000 again in this year's budget for that program, and we're very grateful for that. The fund, I'm told, is growing larger than anticipated. This is from the State Lands Fund, from property owners around the lake. They put a portion of their, every time they renew a lease, they put a portion of funds at State Lands, and that goes to various activities to fund the regional board activities on nearshore monitoring, to fund the Tahoe Conservancy on actions and activities to help benefit the nearshore, and to fund a science council for those three purposes. It is possible that next year we may receive anywhere between $200,000 and $300,000, which is good because our nearshore plan that the board adopted asked for a lot more money to actually do it properly. So good news to report on that. The other thing I wanted to share with you is that we are meeting with the scientists in the basin on nearshore as we're looking to the next round of the stormwater permit updates, as well as our marina permits. And we're really kind of collaborating with them on what kind of scientific questions do we regulatory agencies need over the next 5, 10 years and beyond, where we can collaborate with them, where they could help us with some of these questions and answers so that we could do a better job as regulators. So we had a good meeting with the scientists. We hope to have more meetings with them on that. Amy has a question.
Yeah. Before we leave Lake Tahoe, I was just wondering if I'd be curious to hear kind of an overview of where we think future efforts by our permittees are going to go. In particular, I'm interested to know what kind of activities they will employ, and will there be any more pump and treat projects, and if so, where they might be.
We'd be happy to. Would you like us to come back to a future board meeting and then show you what's coming up in the queue next time? Would you like it?
Would you like to know now or later?
I'd like to know now.
Oh, sure.
Like
to know now. Yeah, that's okay.
Good morning, Chair Cox, members of the board. Bob Larson, Senior Environmental Scientist. Great questions. I think that with respect to where the jurisdictions are focusing their effort, which I think is your question, and what work are they going to be doing, the capital improvement funds that we've enjoyed for the last two decades have tapered dramatically. And while there's still capital improvement funds being implemented and still large-scale capital projects being constructed, I think you'll see fewer of those in the coming years. They may start to ramp up again as Prop 1 starts to hit the ground and we see some more monies, but I think most of what we are seeing right now is an emphasis on operations and maintenance activities. A lot of the a lot of the infrastructure that has been constructed with public funds has been in neglect for a number of years, and I've been working closely, particularly with the City of South Lake Tahoe, but as well as El Dorado County and Placer, looking at some of those older facilities that just haven't been maintained in probably 20, 30 years. And some of these areas, it's pretty amazing. We're standing, you know, they're having to dig down 4 to 5 feet to find an inlet pipe, right, to a basin. These are areas that obviously, so there's fantastic infrastructure and fantastic treatment facilities that could work a lot better, obviously, and, you know, and could be better utilized if maintained. And so I think probably in the foreseeable future, in the next 5 years, I think we'll see a big shift towards that. I know we've talked a lot about the Lake Clarity Crediting Program, the municipal permit, and those requirements, and we do have, that program does include specific requirements for inspections and maintenance, and so we don't award regulatory credit until the maintenance has been verified, and actually that process is causing folks to go out and do a lot of these inspections, do some of this maintenance, and make sure that those things are up to snuff, and that's actually been an eye-opener for a lot of folks in terms of the work that needs to be done. And so I think, you know, the short answer is a lot. There's going to be a lot of operations and maintenance. The other thing we're seeing a big shift on is traction abrasives management. And we've already, Caltrans has been leading the way on this for a number of years. They've worked to identify and sample different traction abrasive materials to see what is the most durable, what still serves the purposes for traction, but is something that doesn't break down as well. And so there's already been a shift towards a specific specification material that doesn't break down, doesn't include as many fines, and has a less potential to pollute the waterways. And then they're looking at ways of applying that material. There's a type of GPS-enabled spreaders, so rather than a truck driver having the discretion at his own to open a gate and dump as much sand as they see fit, there's actually more targeted approaches using you know, electronic GPS-enabled devices. So we're seeing more of those, particularly on the Nevada side right now, but you know, Caltrans has been experimenting with them. There's some resistance with some of the more seasoned maintenance veterans who perhaps are resistant to some of those actions, but seeing some nice shift there. And then we're already seeing a big shift in sweeping, and we've been seeing that in the last few years in terms of just sweeping the streets and cleaning things up. So I think we're moving in the right direction, and be happy to come back to the board at any time and update on the Lake Tahoe TMDL, all those larger actions. The municipal permit update is going to be coming in the next year or two, so we'll be talking about it more for sure.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate that. Also in my executive office report, which will be coming later in the fall, is a triennial review update. And to remind you, that is on our list for consideration, is that this near-shore information we're going to get from, it's a bait stamp for 19, if you're looking for it. We've started this near-shore effort also in part to see, can we, should we set objectives in Lake Tahoe for nearshore? So that is something the board will consider in the fall for the triennial review. So that's another nexus I wanted to mention to you. When I talked about SB 630 and I mentioned three pillars where the money would go, one of the pillars is a science council, which resources agency oversees. They have released an MOU with Nevada on how that will be structured, and their inaugural meeting will be July 21st, just right around the corner, with their executive committee, and we will be attending that, Bob and I, to understand how we can work with the council. Their hope is that someday the council gets established and can help regulatory agencies such as us answer scientific questions, and that we might use them ourselves in terms of peer review or for other purposes or to research items. That's the hope and dream we have all in this basin for that council. But, you know, as you start something new, it takes a little bit while to get it established. Their first assignment will be reviewing the thresholds that TRPA has. So they'll be busy for a while with that, I envision. But, you know, I have great hopes for that council, and I hope that we can use them down the road to help us do a better job as regulators. I want to give you some updates as well. Don mentioned the Washington fire that started in mid-July, and as he mentioned, it's burned almost 18,000 acres, and it did get, as you said, a very nail-biting 3 miles from Markleyville, but I got a nail-biting 1 mile from Leviathan Mine. For all of us as well, at times we were concerned that it was going to overrun Leviathan Mine, our staff, and the staff of ARCO, of course, evacuated. And they did a lot of prep work with the local authorities in terms of what can be done to protect the site, where are the vital areas. You know, like, for example, there's a big propane ethanol tank up there, so that wouldn't have been good if the fire hit that, nor the bioreactor. So, but good news there. We didn't get hit with the fire. Staff went out to tour the facility. The fire, we were also then worried about flash floods and sediment damage from the fire reaching over the crest. It did not, so I think we're good. I mean, we just got very lucky there on that one. I can tell you that we staff also went out after the Washington fire to inspect the area in terms. There's been quite a few flash floods, and for those that you were on the tour, experienced a little bit of that yesterday. In fact, my neighborhood around my house got a flash flood yesterday too. So, but staff went out to inspect and worked with Caltrans and others, and I'd like to be happy to report, you know, that all the agencies are doing, you know, above and beyond job. According to our staff, they're really doing a great job on it. But we do have some sediment problems. Some of the creeks are muddy, to be expected. The Caltrans and the others are doing a great job of cleaning up the culverts, and I'm sure they would wish there weren't so many of these flash floods. I think I recall at least 4 or 5 warnings in the last 2 weeks. So seems to be the trend, and maybe that will inspire us to talk further in our agenda item about climate change, because that may be our new future, with some more of this kind of work. I'm going to switch now to LA, to the south, LA County Sand District 14 and 20. We have a cleanup and abatement order on them from many years ago, and for them to construct a recycled water project, actually. And this is another example where we had a SEP, and we put aside, and as they construct the facilities, we've been reimbursing them for doing that good work. They have asked me for a 1-year extension because they need more time to construct a weather protection enclosure and to work on a booster pump station. So I just want, you know, I'm inclined to give them that extension. Actually sent it out to them. I gave them the extension. I disallowed some of the funding because it wasn't consistent with the SEP. But the good news, that little bit of extra money they can use for this booster station and for this all-weather protection station. So that's an action I took recently. Another one that's before me for consideration is the Barstow Cleanup and Abatement Order extension request. They've also asked for a 1-year extension. Just to remind the board, this is the city of Barstow, where they have got the nitrate plume, where nearby is a perchlorate plume, where we have no responsible party, and that perchlorate plume has moved into the nitrate plume. Like we've done, I've had prior EO reports with maps and updates as it was close to getting into the nitrate plume. Now it's square dab in the nitrate plume. So obviously for the city, they're concerned in terms of their liability. They're concerned about pumping to deal with the nitrate and not pulling the perchlorate plume deeper into their plume. We're going to sit down and work with them in a collaborative fashion. I'm inclined to give them more time, but I'd like to work with them on how that's going to be. I know that our Victorville office has been putting lots of hours in this to see if we can maybe put together our own proposal at the state board that has additional funds for this orphan site, to see if maybe we could work collaborative with them, or we can put a proposal in as the region board to seek funding to at least stop the progression of that perchlorate plume, and then, you know, work with the city on how they need to deal with their nitrate plume. They have to do something in the city of Barstow about their nitrate plume. So we just need to roll up our sleeves, sit down together and figure out how to work that the best. And I'm hoping with the bond money and the other funds, there might be hope we can get funding for the perchlorate. We had proposed money from the cleanup abatement order previously, but we were denied that funding. But I don't give up easy. I'm going to try again. Try again. See if we can get some more funds to help that. There's also a little bit of a community there. The board also, I don't know if you recall, asked for clean abatement, which we did receive, for a couple residents there to get bottled water. But the Victorville office, and kudos to them to putting such good work in this, have been working with the Division of Drinking Water and local community to see if we can maybe hook up the people in that area, not just hampered by the perchlorate, but by the nitrate, to Golden State Water. So, you know, there's a lot of hard work going on down there, and I just want to update you on that.
And Patty, if I could speak to that point, the city of Barstow itself is a highly disadvantaged area. Yeah. Over 50% of the population is on some form of public assistance. That neighborhood where the perchlorate plume originated is highly disadvantaged. A lot of Spanish-speaking individuals in that area, and if there's anything that we can do to get some state money to help, Barstow is a relatively poor city, as you know, their city funds go. This is an area where it makes perfect sense to get some money for from the state fund, wherever we can find it, to address that orphan site.
I appreciate that, and for those that, you know, for what I learned, you know, I think we all saw from the water, Truckee Watershed Council, it really is a community effort, and we have been working, you know, Kirby Grill has been very active in this, and Mike and his staff have really put in a lot of hours to give technical assistance to that area so that they could get a Division Drinking Water Planning Grant so they could do this, and that sort of... you know, I guess I call it pro bono work. We do a lot of things with other agencies all the time just to try to get that. So I, again, thanks to Mike and his team. They really, you know, this is a very personal issue for them, and they've worked hard on it. Well, his whole staff has. So I'm just going to end with a positive uptick, just a note. You might recall that Tom Gavigan gave the board a presentation on the underground storage tank program and how we're doing with that program, which I thought was quite excellent and gave you kind of a sense of the history and where we went. Good news, our targets for this year for closing sites was 41, and we've already hit 49, so we've gone above our target on closing sites. And these are DOD sites, and these are you know, other cleanup sites, not just gas stations. And I wanted to give a shout-out to staff, too. Part of our org improvement effort was to work on policies and procedures to smooth the process, make things easier. And we had a low-threat closure policy, as you know, for underground storage tanks. And so what we did is we had all of our technical staff work together and devise a similar parallel process for non-petroleum sites for low threat so we could close them sooner. So staff worked together to come up with a process, and we're now using that process. I'm going to be sharing it with the other EOs if they're kind of curious what we've done here. I think that's, you know, I think it's a good thing to cross share with our regional boards, you know, what works for them, we've learned from them. So I'm going to share that process with them. I think that's part of the reason we got a higher number this year. We closed the number of Searles facilities, Searles Mine, under this new policy. So it's like end on a happy note. Any questions?
Any questions? Any more? Okay. Thank you, Linda. Item